Father God, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your love and compassion. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, God, that you're so, so good to us. Father, I pray this morning that you will reveal to each one of us the ability that you've given us, the power that you've given us, the authority that you've given us. And God, most of all, I pray for a revelation of the love that you have for each one of us. God, I pray for this revelation because if we know that we're loved, then we can help others. If we know that we're loved, then we can give you the worship and honor that you so rightfully deserve. I pray that you'll speak through me this morning, help us, change us, inspire us, strengthen us. And we pray these things by faith in you, in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture today is going to come out of John, St. John chapter 1. St. John chapter 1, we'll probably go 1 through 12. But before I read, last week we had the opportunity to, or I guess I had the opportunity to share about Alex going to the doctor for her follow-up visit. And so last week when I got off of here at 9:05, something like that, Alex was home probably 10 minutes after I got, closed the message and I put my phone up and I was going to the bedroom. Maybe I was going to make the bed or something. And Alex comes in with just a smile on her face. She didn't have to tell me the good news, but I could see it all over her face. So I honor God for being so faithful. That I know we have scares and I know things happen in our life that we don't understand. But I got to watch a woman act out her faith again and God do exactly what he told me he would do. So Alex got a great report, praise the Lord. I think it's important that we pray for each other. It's important that we believe with each other. And it is extremely important to come back and to share the victories. It's by the power of one another's testimony that we are overcomers. So I thank God for that. This morning in John chapter 1, verse 1, we have John whom describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loves. John was close to the Lord, absolutely. And he, more than anybody, I believed, understood how important it was to be loved and to love his Savior. You see, John wrote a book that we would consider one of the Gospels based off his relationship that he had with Jesus. And not only that, but he wrote a book in the Bible about how much Jesus loved him. You see, it's one thing for us to say, God, we love you and we thank you and we praise you. But it's a whole nother thing for us to understand that God loves us back. And I'm not talking about only in word. I'm talking about in deed, that we're actively seeing and acknowledging that God is loving us. God is showing us mercy. God is showing us his favor and his grace. You see, more than anything, John wanted to be next to him because he understood that in the presence of the Savior, being and laying on the breast of Jesus was everything that he stood in need of. Food, absolutely. Clothing, absolutely. Jesus holds the answer to all our questions. So in the book of John chapter 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, meaning it can't extinguish it, it can't understand it. It can't control it. Light will always overcome darkness. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, this is about John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, To them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Verse 12 again out of the New Living Translation says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Today, brothers and sisters, what I want to talk about is your influence. What are you influencing? What's influencing you? When the Bible says to them that he gave the right to become the children of God, it's a real interesting word that means absolutely authority. It means the capacity to hold authority. It means the ability to influence. The word means literally to become superhuman. So in the book of John, when it says that he gave us the right to become the children of God, it was part of a deal. What do we have to do? We have to believe and accept him. If you believe that God is who he says he is, and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God sent into the world to save you and me from our sin, then God has given you the right, the superhuman ability to influence things around you. You see, we have two small children, and many of us have, I'm sure, have different age kids, different age grandkids. And one of the things that a lot of us are concerned with is things that influence them. We're concerned with TikTok, YouTube, these reality stars, or these photos that have been edited 100 hours a day that just are not real. We're concerned at the rate of drug abuse. We're concerned at the rate of eating disorders. We're concerned at the rate of all these different negative things because we don't want that to influence our children, and we don't want that to influence us. You see, we're easily influenced. Let your neighbor or let your brother or sister or a close friend drive a new car. Most of us, that'll make us want a new car. Let them have a new handbag or a new tractor or a new whatever it may be, and that will influence our desires or our wants. You see, when God gave you and me the right to become the children of God, what he is telling us today, and I believe screaming at the top of his loving lungs, is he is telling us, you are the one that should be influencing others. Stop allowing things to influence or make you doubt. You're the one that is sitting in heavenly places with my son. You're the one that's more than overcomers. You're the one that has the ability to become superhuman. You are the one that has the influence. With this election, we're seeing all these ads, and God, I can't wait for them to be over. If my phone goes off one more time from these people wanting to know who I'm voting for, and I love to respond, I'm a convicted felon, I can't vote. For some reason, I think that's funny because they don't know what to do with that. But anyway, side note. But it's all these things that they want our opinion. They want to know what's influencing us because they're trying to change our judgment. They're trying to change our perspective when the whole time we're the ones that's supposed to be changing the culture. At Joshua's school, when I watch them praise God and worship God with absolutely unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I love to prophesy over them and tell them that they're the ones that's going to shift the culture. And when I say that, God reminds me that you and me are the ones that's supposed to be shifting it now. We're supposed to be the ones that have the power of influence. And you may say, Alan, that's a hard thing to do because we have all this darkness around us. But the Bible is extremely clear, and it says that the darkness cannot comprehend the light, meaning it can't extinguish it. Because there's not a such thing as darkness. It's just the absence of light. So when you and I come into the situation having a relationship with Jesus, then that's when things change. How many of us can think back to people that influenced our lives? Maybe it was yesterday, 10 years ago. There's people that affected my life 15 years ago that I still appreciate today. I got a message from Miss Angela maybe yesterday or a couple of days ago, and she was joking about Coach Pardee making the turkeys and blah, blah, blah. But she put in her message, she said to the one, or something similar to this, to the one that you call, quote unquote, Coach Pardee. And obviously, Coach Pardee is not my basketball coach anymore. But the reason that I'll call him that for the rest of my life is because when very few people believed in me, when very few people thought I could do something, he was right there working with me day in and day out. You see, he influenced my life. And because of that, I associate him with the word coach, because he helped me, because he was willing to step out when not many other people were. Because of that, I'll always call him Coach Pardee, because he influenced my life. What if you and me stepped out and believed in somebody that others around us don't believe in? My dad, when the only thing I was doing is selling methamphetamines and cocaine and smoking the same and doing absolutely nothing good, still believed in me. He still made sure I had the things that I needed. He still had a roof over my head. He didn't give up on me. He kept believing in me. He kept believing in me, even though everybody else had written me off. And because he believed in me, he gets to have some benefits of believing in me. He'll never pay a phone bill for the rest of his life as long as I'm able to pay it. He'll never have to do certain things because he believed. He influenced me when nobody else would. I had a woman, Miss Mays, that believed in me while I was in prison and had no idea who I was, but she saw something on the inside of me that said, yes, this man loves God. Yes, this man will go after God. And because she believed in me, it forever changed the course of my history. You see, brothers and sisters, I want you to know today that you have that kind of influence on people. According to John, that you have been given the superhuman ability to influence others around you. And I want that to inspire you, and I want that to encourage you. And I want you to know, when everybody else gives up on your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife or your grandchildren, I want you to stand on the word of God. I want you to believe what God said, and I want you to influence that young man or that young woman. I want you to influence your husband to stop doing whatever it is. I want you to stand on the word of God and know that you have the superhuman ability to change things. I watched my wife last week know that she had been given the right to be called a daughter of the Most High God. I watched her influence the way a test was going to go. I watched her faith influence it to the point that there was nothing but peace in the household. That's the kind of influence that I want to have. Our young people want to become all these content creators, and they want to have blah, blah, blah. And when they describe them as an influencer. That's a catchy phrase nowadays. A lot of people will maybe see somebody famous or see people gathered around them and say, who is that person? And one of the replies, just pay attention, is, oh, that person's an influencer. Meaning that they have these followers. Well, I want you to know that the devil is not creative, and the devil's never came up with anything brand new. God started this thing, and God will finish this thing. The greatest influencer to ever walk on planet Earth was Jesus Christ, and you and me are his followers. But we can't just follow him in word only. We have to follow him in deed and in action. And that's when the beautiful things happen of you and me becoming more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. That's when a Coach Pardee can believe in somebody that maybe doesn't have certain abilities that others have, but they can work together day in and day out, and some great fruits can come from that. I want you to know that the devil's doing everything he can to convince you that you're not as good or not as important or will never be, when God is telling you today that you are the influencer he's put in your children's life. You are the influencer that he's put on that job or in that workplace. You are the influencer that he chose. You see, I love the book of John because it says, because he gave us the right to become, meaning it was a gift. God in his sovereignty, God in his goodness, knew what he was doing. He knew when he saved you, he wasn't wasting anything. He knew that when he chose you, that yeah, we'll fall and yes, we'll mess up, but he knew that you'll get back up again. He knew that he could trust you to have the superhuman ability to change things around you. You may say, Brother Allen, but these are all great words and these are all great ideas, but what happens when I change these things? Then I believe when you influence those around you, I believe when you influence children in your life, I believe you will see fruit now and for the rest of your life. You see, Coach Pardee's not shot a basketball with me in 25 years. But because he was willing to work with me, he influenced me, he changed me. He taught me things. You see, I hadn't smoked methamphetamines in 23 years, 22 years. But because my dad believed in me, because my dad would help me when nobody else would, because my dad definitely did not agree with my decisions, but he still gave me a safe place to sleep. He still made sure gas was in my tank. He still did the things a good, good father will do. And that's forever influenced me. It makes me want to help my kids. It makes me want to help others around me. And because Miss Mays believed in me and said, "You man of God, you man of God, pray for me," because she was willing to influence the way that I thought about the gospel, because she was willing to show me there's a better way. She was willing to show me there's a power that comes from on high that now me and my family get to experience those benefits every day of our life. You see, brothers and sisters, you are that important. You have that ability. You can make that change. You are the greatest influencer. Jesus has called you. He's redeemed you. He saved you. And it's not enough to hold it to yourself. It's not enough to join in when everybody else is talking bad about the person. I challenge us today to come in and change the course of history for somebody. I've had several people do it in my life, and I am forever grateful. I've had people in my life that stepped out on faith when nobody else would. And the only thing I can attribute that to, the absolutely only reason that I believe they would do that for somebody like me, was because they had a relationship with Jesus. The reason you're supposed to influence somebody is not to get the glory. It's to say, whoa, 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 whoa. The only reason I have this superhuman ability to change things, the only reason I have this life and death on the inside of me, on the tip of my tongue, is because Yahweh gave it to me. It's because God gave it to me. And that will bring him glory. And I promise you, in return, he'll shower down the blessings. I want to challenge us and to stop thinking that the world has more power than our God. I want us to stop thinking that darkness has more power than our God. I want you to use wisdom, and yes, we shouldn't let our kids or ourselves watch or listen or do certain things. Absolutely. That's true wisdom. I agree with you wholeheartedly. But nothing stands up against my God. And I promise you, some of the small things that you're doing for people, years from now, they're going to tell you it influenced them. Some of the small gestures, some of your generosity, some of your kindness will change people's lives because you have been influenced. In closing today, I ironically like to watch the show Cops or whatever. And one of the things when these people get out of the car, the cop or policeman or policewoman will ask them, "Are you under the influence of anything?" And today, brothers and sisters in the spirit, if I'm asking you, are you under the influence? Are you under the influence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are you under the influence of his mercy? Stop beating yourself up when you mess up. Be under the influence of the one who knew no sin, yet became sin, so that you and me might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Stop allowing the enemy to play with your mind, because God created your mind and God will redeem and heal and set you free. Stop allowing the world to influence and be under the influence of the one that loved you and me enough to send a matchless, priceless, awesome, awesome Savior so that you and me could have life eternity with him. We're under the influence of something. I promise you that. It's either the world or it's Jesus. And today I say we choose Jesus. Today I say we ask God to influence our minds, influence our actions. And more than anything, if we'll allow God to influence our hearts, then I promise you, that's all you and me need. If you got out of your car today and a police officer said, "Are you under the influence?" Could you say, "Yes, Jesus is my Savior. Yes, I allow God to help me make decisions. Yes, I allow God to help me understand. Yes, I allow God to show me love and forgiveness." You see, I'm not talking about a walk that's perfect, and I'm not talking about not messing up or not yelling or screaming or being short with your attitude or temper, because Lord knows I need help with that. But I am talking about a walk that says, "I messed up, but God, you forgave me, so I'm going forward." I am talking about a walk when everybody else turns their back on somebody, that you're willing to step in and to help out. You're willing to use wisdom and the love of God to help influence others around you. That's the kind of influence God wants. Let's pray. Yahweh, I thank you. God, I know that we fall short at times, and I know that we mess up. But Lord, I thank you for the influence of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the influence that you have on our lives, that you said that you've made us more than overcomers in Christ Jesus, that you've called us the head and not the tail. You've called us blessed above and not below, that you've called us the lenders, not the borrowers. God, I thank you that you in this scripture told us you gave us the right to be superhuman. Yes, Yahweh, we say yes to being superhuman. Yes to holding influence. Yes to having the right to love you, having the right to receive forgiveness, having the right to believe you in spite of everything. And God, I thank you for a woman that believed in spite of everything going on. And I thank you for a coach, and I thank you for a dad, and I thank you for a spiritual mother. God, I thank you for every person in my life that's influencing me. But God, more than all those people, I thank you for your son, Jesus. And by faith, we believe these things are done. We say yes to you. Yes, we love you. Yes, we receive you. In Jesus' name, amen.